Good morning, everyone. The sound you're hearing is live outside the San Jose mine in Chile, and the orderliness of that sound is sort of characteristic of what has become now a very orderly rescue operation. The capsule on its way down through that drilled hole, which arrived ahead of schedule to rescue the 11th trapped miner. We're covering it all live this morning on the Takeaway. I'm joined by Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, in for Celeste just this morning. Todd, you know, it's certainly the speed at which they're extracting these people bespeaks of a growing confidence that they've got this situation totally under control. Is that what you're seeing?
It is, because this rescue appears to be highly ritualized, which is exactly what you want, the experts say. To the extent that you can get it, repeating over and over and over breeds efficiency, breeds faster rescue, smoother operations, less chance for snags along the way. Of course, not out of danger yet, as you mentioned before, John, but the fact that this rescue is sort of a repeated ritual seems to be playing to everyone's advantage this morning.
Let's remind people of the count. 10 miners are out. That means 23 miners still underground, one making his way to the surface. He's an individual who's had some bad luck in the mines up until now and is known as a folk singer, part of the biographical details that have been shared with everyone around the world and that are known by people inside Chile. Joining us once again, our voice of coverage of what's going on historically down there at the San Jose mine, Valeria Perasso, BBC Southern Cone correspondent, on the line live. Valeria, is there any sort of backstory here as things begin to settle down into a kind of routine, a backstory in that this mine's going to be investigated, that there are going to be safety issues that are going to be reexamined, and the question of how could this have happened? Are those questions being asked yet?
Well, not yet, but I think it's just a matter of days until they start to be asked to the government and to the owner of this mine. Yesterday, President Piñera said that this mine is not going to reopen. It has a really bad record of accidents and problems, and he assured the families that it's not going back in operation, and they are going to build a memorial in this place. So that's all we know for the time being, but there will definitely be lots of investigation going on as to why this happened. We know that there are security measures that were not in place, an emergency shaft, as they call it, that was not built. So all these things are going to be investigated. And, of course, the miners themselves will provide very, very useful information to assess what went wrong and why this happened.
No, and when we're focused on the emotional stories that all of these miners are certainly going to tell, also in the fine print of what they will be telling the media and investigators, will be the full portrait of what went wrong here. How difficult a decision is it for President Piñera to close a mine, given the dependence of Chile on copper and gold and other minerals extracted from mines just like this?
I think the mining sector is being restructured as a whole on the side of the government. They just created a new office within the government to deal with mining security, for example, as a result of this accident. So I think that the political cost of not closing the mines, if this rescue operation hadn't been as successful as it had, could probably be higher than those of closing some of the mines. It's also important that this area is mainly small and medium range mining companies, which give a lot of employment to the region, but who don't really provide most of the income for the copper industry here in Chile, which is in the hands of bigger corporations who have a better record in terms of health and safety. So I think there's going to be a full revision of particularly these smaller companies that seem to be less controlled and less following the regulations that are in place in the future.
And Valeria Perasso, every time there's a accident, usually a coal mining disaster here in the United States, Sago Mine, Upper Branch Mine more recently, we do evaluate the sort of not only the state of mine safety, but the state of government attention to mine safety. Is there as they start looking at the state of regulation in Chile there, is there any way for you to characterize the state of Chilean mine regulation? Has it been lax that might have led to this accident, or strong regulation but an isolated incident?
Well, I think some of the laws that are already in place are not the are not being enforced as they should, and that's one of the things that experts say that need to be revised. And some others are working. It's just a matter of updating them and making them, relating them to the more modern ways of developing the mining business. I was talking to one of the contractors today. He's a man that has 5 miners down in the mine, one of them already out, the other 4 still waiting to be rescued. And he was selling services, in a way, to the San Antonio company, the owner of this mine. All his machinery is down the mine.
Wow.
He's not going to get that back, of course, because there is no chance of getting that up the shaft. And he was saying that the regulation that deals with subcontracting in the mining industry is one that certainly needs to be revised and updated.
All right, we're listening to Valeria Perasso, who's the BBC Southern Cone correspondent, on the line live from San Jose, outside that mine in Chile. We are waiting now for Jorge Gallegos, who's a 56-year-old who's on his way up to the surface. Is there any suspicion that, we've heard a lot of macho talk from these miners and what little we've been able to glean from the communications with family and friends? Any sense that any of these folks have given it up and, maybe going to go into a different business?
Some of the families are hoping so. I don't think many of them will go back to the mine, but some of them might, because they have a long family tradition in the mining industry, and they have one of their mottos is that you are born a miner and you die as a miner. So I think we shouldn't be surprised if in the near future some of them, not all of course, decide to go back down the mine again.
Even if they take a little interlude to write a book or be in a movie or have their own television show there in South America. Valeria Perasso, a BBC Southern Cone correspondent, covering the unfolding Chilean mine rescue taking place outside of the San Jose mine in Copiapó, Chile. Valeria, thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.